Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is bankruptcy. Randy Thompson has the rundown.
Well, luckily, we'll be talking to lawyers and not our personal aspects of bankruptcy. Gary Colvett and Amy Terry are here.
And on the Power Pundit panel today, Leslie Pittman and Scott Craigie. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome to the program Amy Terry. She's a bankruptcy attorney, and Kerry Colvett, who is an attorney with Drinkwater Law Offices, and they both represent various parties in bankruptcies. Amy deals with the lenders and the banks, and Kerry is the person who deals with the debtors. So, are we at the bottom? Are we still going down? How bad is it?
From what I hear, I understand commercial bankruptcies have not yet hit the bottom. They're still on a downward trend, especially with the real estate prices here in Reno. As far as consumer debtor cases or individual filings, I think they've leveled off. So we have some statistics that show that they were pretty much equal between 2009 and 2010.
When people are looking at bankruptcy, it just seems to me there's so many different areas. It's very confusing. Can you explain, you know, some of the details?
Well, the problem with most people who are in financial distress is they wait too long. Because they don't have the information that they need in order to determine whether bankruptcy is a good option or whether maybe there's other options out there for them. So I think the important thing for people to know is they need the information. And yes, there is a lot of information, and the only way to get it is to go and talk to someone about what the options are before you make mistakes that could cost you in your future. And one of the biggest examples that I use is retirement accounts. You don't want to be draining your retirement account to be keeping your home right now, because that's an exempt asset in the bankruptcy. So people just need to keep in mind that the important things are to get the information that you need. And the information that you need is not information that you get at dinner parties or from people that just don't know. Yeah. And so that's what I would recommend people keep in mind, is to go and talk to someone who knows.
Well, is there a certain limit? Like, let's say you have an annual salary of $100,000. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain limit you would say, if you're at that limit, you should declare bankruptcy?
Well,
I know it's kind of a general thing, but...
Well, and what the thing about bankruptcy is, there's different chapters that you can file. And many of the chapters are determined by what chapter you qualify to file, can be determined by your income level. And there are median income levels that are required for you to fall under if you want to file a Chapter 7, which is the liquidation chapter, the chapter that says you file the bankruptcy and at the end of the day, all dischargeable debt is discharged and there's no payment plan or anything like that. So income is a big factor in determining which chapter you file.
As you're dealing with the banks and you represent them, are you finding that there's been a change in attitude over the last year or so in their willingness to work with people? Because it seemed that they were somewhat unprepared for the crisis that was to come and were not willing to work with people. Are you seeing a difference in attitude now?
I think that's right. It depends on who holds the loan. So if you're dealing with institutional lenders versus individual lenders definitely are willing to negotiate pre-filing because they don't want to be dragged through the bankruptcy process. With the institutional lenders, oftentimes the debtor goes ahead and files the bankruptcy petition, and then you might go through a negotiation and end up working out a consensual plan, so they'll negotiate in the bankruptcy process. Except there are certain circumstances where there is a servicer for the debt, so maybe there's a large bank and they have a subservicer, a master servicer, a subservicer, and the individual borrower only knows the subservicer and doesn't know all the parties who actually hold the loan. Sometimes that subservicer doesn't have any discretion to negotiate, and that's a problem.
Also, isn't there a financial situation where it's not necessarily in the best interest of the servicer to cut a deal for them financially?
For them financially,
right,
to cut a deal? You know, again, it turns on what can they collect from the borrower? Are there other assets available if they were to, for example, foreclose and there's maybe a deficiency and they may need to pursue the borrower? And if it's an entity, there's usually a personal guarantee involved of the person, the principal of the entity. So the factor there is what's available to them in order to satisfy the debt in full. So those factors go into the decision making about the negotiation.
So you both represent people that essentially don't have money. How do you get paid?
Well, many times, and again, this is determined by the chapter that the debtor files.
Okay.
Many times we receive our compensation through a payment plan if you're in a Chapter 13. If you're in a Chapter 7, generally they have to come up with the money up front, because if it's not paid in advance, we become a creditor in the bankruptcy. And then we're stuck with whatever debt or whatever money is distributed to the creditor. So we do require it up front. Most people are able to find it somewhere. Many of them are not paying their bills at the time that they file the bankruptcy, and so it does loosen up some money in order to go through the bankruptcy process.
Okay. And you actually represent the people that do have money, though.
I represent people who have money, so I get paid.
Yeah.
So they can afford to pay me, and generally it's a matter of how much do they want to spend, you know, in order to recover something. And oftentimes I tell them, you don't want to spend a dime to chase a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth your while.
All right, let's take a break. More on the fascinating topic, very big deal in Nevada, of bankruptcy when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to nevadanewsmakers.com.
Attention diabetics, if you've taken the diabetes drug Avandia, listen carefully.
If a member of your family has suffered a heart attack, stroke, or even died while taking Avandia, call the attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you or a loved one have taken this drug and were injured, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
For a free legal consultation, call 800-595-6139.
You don't owe us anything unless we're successful.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10000.com.
Urgent means if you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
Local entertainment, Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation about bankruptcy with Amy Thierry and with Carrie Colvett. One of the things that one would imagine is that there's a lot of negotiating in the process here. I would imagine that banks at this point are not saying we have to get 100%. What is the situation when you go into a negotiation? What are you looking for?
Well, you know, I think you're right about your assessment that there's a lot of negotiation. I call bankruptcy, let's make a deal. So that's how I approach it. And generally, a lender definitely wants to recover their principal. They may waive accrued interest. They may waive late fees and penalties. Whether or not they're entitled to recover their attorney's fees and costs turns on whether or not they're oversecured versus undersecured. That has to do with the value of collateral, real property, for example, that's been pledged to secure their debt. So in my estimation, generally, you know, principal is what they're after. They want to recover what they actually lent, and then maybe on the interest, they're willing to negotiate.
No doubt you've seen a lot of foreclosures. As someone who's actually gone through foreclosure, should I be looking down the pike a couple years and expecting a lawyer to come back and sue me for the debt that's left? You know, essentially I walked away from a loan, as did thousands of Nevadans. Is there a potential threat, do you think, for homeowners to look at, you know, coming back and being sued for the amount that they left?
Yeah.
That's not the answer I wanted, by the way. Okay, just letting you know that.
But unfortunately, that's the truth. There is statute of limitations concerns on first mortgages in the state of Nevada. There is a 6-month time frame after a foreclosure sale, a trustee sale, for the mortgage lender to sue you.
Good.
But on a second, okay, it extends out to 6 years, mm-hmm, and that's a long wait for many people to look to the future and say, do I know what's going to happen in 6 years, mm-hmm, and do I want to risk someone pursuing me 6 years down the road when maybe you've fixed your issues or you've become reemployed? So, and that's 6 years is just a long time. So yeah, I think a lot of people are would be surprised to hear that the house that foreclosed 2 years ago might still have 4 years worth of time on the statutes of limitation.
Is it worthwhile then for people to attempt, because with so many homes, homeowners, they're underwater so badly that the second is valueless at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Even if they were able to sell the house, the second would be gone. Isn't it therefore reasonable that the companies holding the seconds would want to negotiate and get something out of it?
You would think.
And maybe not the principal, but anything.
Mm-hmm. You would think that would be the case, but a lot of people are still struggling to get modifications or to work with their lenders. We're not seeing that it's becoming significantly easier to work with those lenders. And so a lot of people look at the chapters in the bankruptcy code that allow you to do something about the second if you're so upside down in your house that you might be able to strip the second. And in a Chapter 13, that's an option for people who are significantly underwater, who have a market value for their home that's worth less than the first. And so a lot of people are looking at those options to try to stay in their homes but to mitigate the damage that could occur if they were to let it foreclose.
Well, and do you see on the creditor side, do you see banks wanting to pursue foreclosures at this point, or are they just too busy with everything else? That
they're pursuing foreclosures, okay. Definitely commercial and personal consumer mm-hmm. foreclosures. With the seconds, on the seconds that might be underwater, there's no value there in the real property for them. What I haven't seen, and what you pointed out by your way of your question, that wave of actions might be coming. I mean, I haven't seen them yet, but they might be coming in the future, and therefore there might be another wave of bankruptcy filings.
Who shouldn't be filing for bankruptcy?
Who shouldn't be filing for bankruptcy?
Yeah, they may have financial difficulty, but that is not necessarily the road that they need to go down.
Yes, I talked to some people yesterday, actually. They wanted to consult with me generally about bankruptcy, what their options were, and I did speak with them. And they have an asset. They have a note where they're receiving income. They sold a business to someone, and that person is paying them $3,000 to $4,000 a month, and they want to stay in control of that income stream, because if they file bankruptcy, if they file a Chapter 7, the trustee will take control over that asset. So people who might have an asset won't necessarily want to file, or they have a small business that they want to stay in control of. If they file a Chapter 7, the trustee then will take control of that business. It's different in a Chapter 13. They still can stay in control, but as Carrie mentioned, there are certain eligibility requirements for 13, and if you have too much debt, you're not eligible for a 13. So again, you know, you need to, the person needs to talk to a bankruptcy attorney to discuss whether bankruptcy is for them or not.
So the best advice from both of you is do not get bankruptcy advice at a dinner party. Thank you so much. We really appreciate great information.
Thank you.
Right back on About the Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
Start the new year off looking and feeling great. European Fitness Center is smashing the competition with a limited time offer. Come in now and pay nothing to enroll in just $25 per month. You get it all at European Fitness Center. Aerobic classes from cardio, kickboxing to salsa, free weights and machines, a pool area with hot tubs, steam room and sauna, tanning, and a newly expanded cardio theater with big screen TVs and much more. Join European Fitness Center now and pay no money to enroll and just $25 per month with no hidden fees. Hurry in, this offer won't last long.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Now's a great time to get behind the wheel of a new Subaru from Lithia Reno Subaru. Right now, the new 2011 Legacy is only $199 a month. That's right. Lease a new 2011 Subaru Legacy from Lithia Reno Subaru for only $199 a month over 36 months. Or enjoy 0% financing on virtually every new Subaru in stock. Now is the best time to get into a new Subaru with a $199 lease on a brand new Subaru Legacy or 0% financing on new vehicle purchases. Come into Lithia Subaru of Reno today.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Leslie Pittman is here with Sierra Strategies and Scott Craigie with Allris Consulting. Going back to the state of the state, not a good speech for teachers. You're a former teacher yourself.
Yeah, and it's tough to watch, you know, having taught school for 10 years. And I really do believe that, you know, education is what moves everybody. And it's very important that, you know, education gets its fair share. And right now, it's up in the air. I mean, it's literally in jeopardy as I see it. Now, I know I'm partisan. I put that on the table here. But the fact is, that's the basic package of information that people get, and they go through all of those classes because that's how they learn what sciences are going to be and what, the math is going to be and what drives them in the long term.
I mean, looking at the majority leader's face during the speech, he was not a happy camper.
No, and he's made it very clear that education is his number one priority, and staving off cuts to that, enormous cuts, is going to be principal job one for him. I have kids in the public school system, and I certainly understand where we are from a budgetary standpoint, and difficult decisions need to be made, and that sort of thing. And there does need to be a fair amount of targeted education reform, certainly in our state. But I think of my kids as teachers who are very good, and to see the sort of hit that they would take in terms of these budget cuts, I just think down the road we're gonna be paying for it.
I'm going to amend your statement, though. It's not a good time for bad teachers, and I think that was the point of the governor's speech. He wants to get rid of the bad teachers. He wants to get rid of tenure. He wants to allow more empowerment for schools to decide whether or not class size reduction is working for them. To me, he's almost giving more control to the counties, to the districts, and to the classroom, and I think that was a good move to make, to say that we've got to stop protecting the bad teachers. If your kids have good teachers, your kids are getting a good education, and that's just the reality. I don't think it's a bad time for teachers. I think the labor unions, like most states are seeing, the teachers union are under assault. They're under assault by the president. They're under assault in New Jersey. So to me, I think the governor was essentially laying down the gauntlet and saying, we need to improve education. And this is the way we're going to improve it, is we're going to break the backs of the unions, not hurt teachers.
Yeah, but I guess you can give that flexibility to the local school districts to get rid of bad teachers, but do you do it also while you're doing a 5% cut in their pay across the board for all teachers? And that's where I think the damage can be done.
It's going to be a major fight. Teachers union has, 28,000 members?
Oh, yeah.
They are a powerful voice.
Yeah.
Another area that came up was collective bargaining. This is going to be another big fight of this session, don't you think?
I do. I think, it's going to be interesting. What I've seen so far is that the Republicans, for the most part, have held steady with the governor in terms of no tax increases. We're not going to allow it to go forward. We've got the votes to keep any veto from being overridden. But this, more than any other session, I would see is the best opportunity for those same Republicans who have been clamoring for collective bargaining reform to get that done in exchange for a negligible tax increase that's broad-based. And I would hate to see them walk away from that opportunity. I think exists more this session than it ever has before. Scott?
Well, in Medicaid, Sheila Leslie's in the paper, and Sheila said that she was concerned that the rural hospitals might be forced to close down. We've got to find, some middle ground so that we can maintain the kind of programs that we've got to have. And if it can be done that way, then I'm all for it. But we've got to make sure that we're managing this so that we're not doing long-term damage to whatever those programs might be.
Well, I think the collective bargaining is pretty much the gauntlet the Democrats are just not going to give up. I think you're going to see reforms to PERS and PEB. I think the Democrats will probably come a ways on some issues, and the Republicans will come a ways. But bottom line to me, unless there's a tax increase, you're not going to get NRS 288 changed, collective bargaining changed.
So, and that puts the governor in a position of, if there are taxes, he has to veto them, they got to come in, and are we seeing a repeat of what happened 2 years ago?
It's very possible. I think, a lot of folks are still absorbing and digesting what the provisions within the governor's budget and identifying what the potential day-to-day impacts are to lives in their certain categories, whether it's local government or other, or Department of Health and Human Services and that sort of thing. I think now that it's, the Democrats who have been opposed to a lot of the cuts that are in the budget, it's now time for them to make their case, to their constituents, to the community, statewide community as a whole, and also to their fellow Democrats and Republicans who serve in the legislature. you know, now's their time to do that and come up with their alternatives.
Well, if you go to that Transparent Nevada site, I mean, I was clicking through Washoe County alone, and it was five or six pages of people that were being paid over $100,000 a year for secretaries and veterinarians at the animal shelter. I mean, these people are making good money in the county. It's not necessarily in the states. And until we can get those costs under control, we are not going to be able to afford to keep rural hospitals open. And that's what we've got to come down to. As a community, what's the right thing to do? As a state, what's the right thing to do?
All right, let's talk about functional home rule. What does that mean?
I think that's the question of the day.
Well, I'm not sure functional fits into that phrase. I mean, that's the hard part, is that, you know, teaching is an education, and as an education is very important, but everyone has their own way of approaching it. And it is. It's a special science. And it's when you're teaching in a classroom, for example, and you're in front of that class, or you're working with them, or you're rolling out various kind of programs, you want to make sure that those folks are actually sitting down doing the work, and that the material is literally being, you know, taken in the right kind of order so that it actually fits. You know, we're talking about young children here, and that's from K-12 all the way up into college, and that's, you know, that's tough business. You've got to find some special people to make that work.
My interpretation of functional home rule, because I've heard Carol Velardo, you know, Nevada's tax maven, talk about it many times, as opposed to fiscal home rule, is for local governments to have the opportunity to consolidate some departments and move some functions around to make them more efficient. That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but don't they already have the ability to do that?
Not in many respects. I mean, they've got to come to the state legislature and ask for permission.
And they've got collective bargaining that the state mandates. And but they also don't have the ability to collect taxes.
And the collective bargaining is really one of the major areas where the conflicts are created.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fascinating 4 months plus. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Discover the textures of the Starving Artists Art Sale. Discover the beauty that real hand-painted oils can bring to your home. Original sofa-sized paintings sold elsewhere for hundreds of dollars, as low as $19. Smaller paintings from $7, and absolutely nothing over $59. This Sunday only, discover the Starving Artists Art Sale in Reno at the Ramada Hotel and Casino. Original sofa-sized oil paintings from $19. This Sunday only, 10 to 4.
With R.C. Willie's 5-star express delivery service for $59, get a full year of unlimited delivery, setup, cleanup, and haul-away by R.C. Willie's professional delivery team.
Listen to our sports partner, the new ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
And catch us next week for another Live of the Week. We've got Mayor Goodman, that's Leroy from Fernley, also the editor of Nevada Magazine, and Lee Gibson from the Regional Transportation Commission.
We'll see you then.